Well, John chapter 8 in your Bibles this evening. John chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse 44. It's a familiar portion of Scripture for you. The Bible says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." He's speaking to the Pharisees, the scribes, and people that did not like him. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. You understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we are in a great war, in a battle for men's souls. As in any war, there's always casualties, there's defectors, and there are valiant soldiers. What we need to understand this evening is the fact that Satan is our enemy, and he will lie to us. There's four major things that he will lie to us about, and that's what we're going to cover this evening. First of all, he will lie to us about the Word of God. And you understand, across America, there are very few churches that believe the Bible like we believe the Bible. Very, very few churches. So let's begin in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Satan will lie to us about the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Let me just give a little context there, and it is this. God never told him not to touch it. She was adding to the Word of God, and that is as bad as detracting from the Word of God. Satan will detract from it, but we can't add to it either. And she did. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." He's taken away from the Word of God. "For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof," oh my goodness, "and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." Satan said, "Ye shall not surely die." Let me tell you, folks, we have to make some decisions about the Bible, about what the Bible is. We have to make some decisions along these lines. Are we going to take the Bible literally? When you read the Bible, does it really mean just exactly what it says? We have to make a decision if we are going to take the Bible literally. We have to make some decisions if we are going to take God seriously when he says something. When the Bible says, yea, God hath said. We have to make some decisions. This is exactly what the Lord wanted us to know. We have to make some decisions if the Bible is inspired and inerrant and infallible and preserved so that we know the heart of God. We have to make some decisions about the Word of God. But let me tell you something. Satan will lie to you and he'll say things like, oh, come on now, be reasonable. Don't take the Bible literally. When the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself, he really doesn't mean that. Yes, he does. When the Bible says you are to love your enemies and do good to them that hate you and pray for them that despitefully use you, that's exactly what God said and what he means. We have to make some decisions about that. Satan will say, don't be a fool. And he certainly said that to Adam and Eve. What was the result of them eating the fruit of the tree? Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. It was the result of his hands. Okay. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field, oh my goodness, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. It's supper time. Adam has just come in, and Eve says, where are the boys? And he says, I haven't seen them for a while. She said, you have a seat. Supper's almost done. I'll go out and get the boys. She goes looking for them. She comes across Abel. And she bends down. And she puts his head on her lap. And she cries those bitter tears that only a mother can cry. And she says this, Satan, you lied to me. And he did. Second of all, Satan will lie to you about your family, that you can raise your kids just fine without the church. And a lot of times some preacher's kids come to mind that have turned out bad, and they'll say, see? Go now with me to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. We'll begin reading in verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Let me tell you something, folks. Lot was doing just fine out in the desert, living with the father of faith, his uncle Abraham. One day he has to make a decision. Is he going to stay in the desert with the blessings of God on him because of Abraham? Or is he going to go to the city? Please understand, he has some daughters, doesn't he? We're going to pick that up in a minute. He has some daughters. And I guarantee you the daughters are saying, ah, Dad, there's no boys out here. Can't we move to a city where there's boys? Well, and in the case of Sodom, what kind of boys are we talking about? Sodom, though, was a place of great wickedness. But it was a great place to raise cattle. It was a great place if you are a rancher to get rich, because it was well watered. It was a wonderful, wonderful place to raise cattle, but it was a horrible, horrible place to raise your kids. Satan will lie to you about your family. Boy, I hate this, but let's go to Genesis chapter 19. When I read the Bible through every year, I come to Genesis chapter 19 and I just say, oh God, help me. Genesis chapter 19. Verse 35. These are two of his daughters. And they made their father drink wine that night also. Happened the night before. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not that when she lay down nor when she arose. Verse 36 is one of the most terrible verses in your Bible. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And when that was told him, I could see him going outside the cave where they were living, and he sits on a rock, and the sun is bathing his face in warmth, but there's no warmth in his soul when he just heard what his two daughters has said. And Lot says, Satan, you lied to me. You said I could raise my family in Sodom just as well as raising them out in the country. Third, he will lie to you about your strength. Satan will tell you that you're strong, that you can handle sin, that sin in moderation is okay. He will tell you drinking in moderation is okay. No, it is not. Several years ago, there was a commercial on television that was aimed at kids, and it was saying, practice safe sex. You know what they're really saying? Practice safe sin. And there's nothing in the world safe about any sin. Folks, we just have to wake up to this stuff. Satan will tell you that a little flirting's okay at office. It's no big deal. Don't listen to Satan. Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. You know the story well. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you understand. I just stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I'm not telling you one thing that you haven't heard multiple times before, but Peter said that we need to stir up our minds by way of remembrance. And so that's what we're doing this evening. Judges chapter 14, the first three verses. And Samson went down to Timnath, and he saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Heaven help us. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother and said unto him, is there never a young woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Shame on Samson for treating his mother and father that way. We never get to the place in our life where we can treat our mothers and our fathers wrong. We are to honor our mothers and our fathers. And let me just remind you about this. The way of the transgressor is hard. And that's where old Samson is. Now Judges chapter 16. Again, it's one of those chapters where you just say, oh, I hate to get to this chapter. Judges chapter 16, verse 20. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And boy, here's a sad statement. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He wasn't strong like he used to be. He wished not that the Lord was departed from him. And the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god. Dagon is the fish god. Let me tell you which group today has a hat that looks like a fish. You know, the Catholic Church goes up and it goes around like that, and they put a dot there. It looks like a fish head. Dagon their god, and to rejoice, and they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that we may make a sport, that he may make a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which slew in his life. And I wonder if he said, just before everything came crashing down, Satan, you lied to me. You said that I was strong enough that this would never happen. Satan lied to him. And the last thing that Satan will lie to us about is time. Go with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Satan will tell us, you have lots of time. Enjoy yourself. Eat, drink, and be merry. There's going to be time for you to go to church later on and get things right. Everything is fine. You have lots and lots of time. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Covetousness is desiring something that God doesn't want you to have. And he says that to each one of us here tonight. Beware of desiring something that God doesn't want you to have. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Are you going to listen to Satan, or are you going to listen to God? Because here's what God said. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he, speaking to us, that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Listen to God. Don't listen to Satan. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the clarity of your word, for the fact that when we read your word, You have us in your best interest. You want us to do right and to live right. You want to bless us. You want to protect us. You want to hedge us about and bring us into a very fruitful land. Father, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your wonderful word and the way that it speaks to our hearts. And Father, I just ask that you might speak to hearts this evening. That if there's someone here that needs a visit to the altar, that they would do that. Father, thank you for allowing us to be in your house this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.